This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on significance of 2+2 dialogue. The participants are Commodore C. Uday Bhaskar, strategic analyst, and K.V. Prasad, journalist.
India and United States will hold its first 2+2 dialogue. The 2+2 indicates the defense and foreign ministers of respective countries will be talking to each other, first separately and then together. This is a new format that India is experimenting and perhaps the only country at this level, though there is an official level talk with Japan. Commodore Uday Bhaskar, much is expected. A lot of voices have been heard of both from India and United States before this talk. And these talks itself were postponed twice for various reasons, largely on account of American preoccupation and their diplomats elsewhere. First and foremost, could you just give us a broad overview as to the importance of this 2+2 format?
The importance of the 2+2 format with the United States, to my mind, lies in the fact that this is a very important relationship, definitely, for India. I would also make the case that the relationship with India is also important for the United States from a strategic perspective. So to that extent, I would also suggest that the India-US relationship is actually a very distinctive relationship when we review it in 2018. The reason is that there is one very familiar way of looking at India and the United States as the world's largest and the world's oldest democracies. But the reality is that these two countries have been estranged for a very long time, from 1974 till 2008, largely because of the nuclear issue. So the new chapter or the new page in the bilateral begins in September 2008, when India was accorded the exceptional status by the US and the global community. And for the last decade, one could suggest that India and the United States are trying to bring greater content into the relationship so that from estrangement, they move towards meaningful engagement. And the 2+2 meeting is, to my mind, very important in that context, because this is the highest ministerial kind of level where the four ministers would be meeting in a formal, structured manner. There are a number of issues that need to be addressed, that need to be taken forward. It's a very wide agenda because it encompasses the entire strategic security as also the foreign policy bandwidth. And let me add the same breath that there are a number of areas where India and the United States have certain divergences. So the strength of any relationship is the degree to which you can manage your differences. So therefore, I as an analyst welcome this particular meeting. As you rightly said, it was postponed twice in the past. This is an important ministerial level meeting, and we hope that there would be a greater understanding and greater sense of takeaways between India and the United States in this very important bilateral relationship.
Commodore Uday Bhaskar, if you look at stretch of relations, if one may say so, the kind of engagement India and the United States spread over almost 70 sectors from space to sea. I mean, everything in between these two come in various reasons. And of course, the strategic equation is something been deepening. And over the years, we have seen the defense engagement having grown and India acquiring increasingly acquisitions from the United States in terms of various platforms. While we come to some of the specifics later, very recently we saw the United States, if you look a little back from the Obama administration times when they talked of rebalancing towards Asia, India figured in that prominently, of course, in the larger geopolitical context. Then very recently we've seen the Pacific Command being rechristened as Indo-Pacific Command because the construct is now Indo-Pacific as against Asia-Pacific over the last few years. This is a strategic term that has gained currency over the last many years. While this is being the larger canvas, in the run-up to the 2+2, we have had this very major overhang of CATSA, the American law, which is the countering action of threat, those who are supporting American adversaries, which draws India directly into the vortex in two things, and that has been talked over in the last few weeks in by strategic analysts. What happens to the deal with Russia on the S-400 Triumph surface-to-air missiles, and of course the Iran oil deal.
See, CATSA, which stands for Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions, is actually a Trump initiative, meaning that this was introduced by President Donald Trump after he assumed office, and it has been driven largely, I would suggest, by American domestic politics, as also I think a determination arrived at by Mr. Donald Trump that within the American context, he has to come across as someone who is taking a very tough stand against Russia. The reason for this, as all of us are aware, is the kind of allegation that had been made that in the run-up to the White House, when Mr. Trump won the election against Ms. Hillary Clinton, that Moscow and President Putin had a certain hand which influenced the American voter. This is a very serious charge. In the last couple of years, ever since he's taken office, President Trump has tried very hard to make the point that he's very tough when it comes to American security, and particularly on Russia. It's against this backdrop that CATSA was introduced. So the first point to note is that it is not India-specific. There are other countries, for instance, Turkey, which is an American NATO ally, which may have the same kind of, again, dilemma when it comes to how do you get over the CATSA provision. For India, I think we need to remind ourselves, if we need to, that Moscow is a very important military partner. Even during the Cold War, when we were dealing with the former Soviet Union, it was a very important relationship. And today, if you look at the three armed forces of India, the Army, Navy, Air Force, more than 60% of the inventory is still sourced from Moscow. In addition, Moscow plays a very important role in India's strategic profile. If you look at the strategic capabilities of India, they have been enabled, I would say, to considerable measure by the partnership with Moscow. Therefore, from a purely limited national security point of view, India cannot dilute or jettison its relationship with Moscow. It's a different point that India is also dealing with the Moscow bilateral because of certain initiatives taken by Russia in relation to Central Asia, in relation to Pakistan, in relation to China, but that's a completely separate track. So this is not binary, and I imagine that in the 2+2, in as much as President Trump has constantly prioritized the national interest of each country, because soon after taking over office, he said the US is now going to engage very differently, only our national interest will be the determining factor. So, if you use the same argument, India would have to persuade or convey to the American interlocutors, Mr. Pompeo and General Mattis, that when it comes to Russia, it is a national security, military security compulsion. And let me extend this point and say that we'll also be discussing Iran, where the energy security dimension will come up. So, I think there has to be a strategic or a political call, both by the United States and India, about the long-term value of the bilateral for each of them. I think that is going to be the real litmus test about the outcome of tomorrow's 2+2.
As you pointed out, it all depends on what is there on the table and how much of negotiation strength and how India and the United States exchange notes. And as you mentioned, the energy sector, it is said India depends almost 80% plus of its energy from imports, and 25% of it is serviced by Iran alone. And of course, we also have strategic interest in international corridor that we're building, and also the Chabahar port. So I think these are all issues that are there. But in the run-up to the 2+2, we heard an American official in Washington talk of that China would also be figuring in the talks. Now, this is interesting, both in terms of India's engagement with China, especially post-Wuhan. So what kind of anticipation would the Americans would like to understand?
You know, I had also seen this particular statement that came from Washington, where they tried to suggest that the entire subtext is about China. Now, as analyst, and particularly from an Indian perspective, I would say that if we review the India-US relationship going back to 2008, when the actual decision was taken by the presidency of Mr. George Bush to accord India this particular status, there was, I would say, a strategic assessment that if you look at the next two decades, meaning that when President Bush embarked upon this initiative, we were in 2005. And very interestingly, even before we come to the nuclear status of September 2008, in June 2005, there was a very important defense cooperation agreement signed. And I often remind myself and remind audiences that the United States had arrived at a determination to improve its relationship with India in the defense sector as far back as June 2005, even before the nuclear issue was addressed. I don't think that has changed. Therefore, today, when we are looking at how the United States and India are going to move ahead, they cannot discount the rise of China. Because in different ways, China poses a challenge both to the United States as also to India. Now, this is not to suggest that therefore India needs to get into the American camp and become the equivalent of an ally, which India has made it very clear as far back as 2005, that is not on the table. But what is on the table is, if the cooperation with the United States can proceed as envisioned in June 2005, India's comprehensive national power progressively increases, as I said, in a steady manner. That itself would enable or make it easier perhaps for the United States to look at Asia as a strategic domain where the United States and its allies also have interests. And across the board, from East Asia to West Asia, there is concern about the assertiveness of China. So I think if we look at the big picture and say that whatever India and the United States are doing is not Cold War reduction where it is anti-China, but it is a case of enabling India to acquire a certain degree of comprehensive national power, that would punctuate the strategic arena of Asia, which in turn would advance or enable a larger American interest, whereby Asia does not become unipolar and dominated only by China's assertiveness, and you have the equivalent of not even multipolar, but a polycentric Asia, where a tiny Singapore or a small Maldives would have the same kind of stake as the larger countries, whether it is an India, a China, or a Japan. I think that is the normative vision which is driving the India-US partnership at this point in time.
When you mentioned 2005, I think the figures say that between 2005 and now, Indian defense acquisition from the US amounts to something like $15 billion and probably another $3 billion in the pipeline. So it's a huge, there's also a significant shift from the Russian acquisition that India has been making since the turn of independence.
I think in the last decade, the actual government-to-government military supply from the United States begins only in 2008. So literally in a decade, from 2008 to where we are now, from zero, we have moved up to $15 billion plus $3 billion in the pipeline. I think Prime Minister Modi has prioritized Make in India. He has also given the highest attention to technology transfer for the Indian military industrial complex. I think if this 2 plus 2 can identify how to take this forward, it would be a very major takeaway, because I think this is another thing that we need to tell ourselves, that old-fashioned bean counting of military capability in terms of number of tanks, number of guns, number of ships, number of fighter aircraft has now been replaced by the technological edge. So we are looking at cyber, we are looking at space, we are looking at artificial intelligence, and the reality is all these technologies, the R&D, the cutting-edge work is being done in the United States, and to our dismay, it is Indian brain power which is working in American technological firms, but India is buying them off the market, as it were. Prime Minister Modi, I think, has been trying very hard to see whether he could bring about the changes. Can this technology be brought to India? Can India's brain power be harnessed here? And can the United States be an enabler? I think that would be a very big step forward when we are looking at 2050.
When you mentioned the Defense Trade and Technology Initiative, there were five identified areas, but I think it has somehow got stuck in a groove, and as you said, this talks could see a way how to take it forward. But before we end, one issue is always there. Since President Trump came to power, he is very possessed about the fact that America's trade deficit is bulging and India is on the radar. How do you see this dichotomy to be sorted out?
This is going to be a big issue that India would have to offer some kind of incentive, because President Trump has made this, again, a very high priority in his domestic politics. November 6th is a critical election as far as the United States House of Representatives is concerned. If we could draw attention to the fact that there is potential in the transactional element, meaning that if your defense rate could move from almost 0 to 18 in one decade, if the American companies and the American techno-legal regime enables India to access some of the technology that we are looking at for the long term, I think we may be able to offer incentive. If you look at India's defense expenditure over the next decade, we are likely to allocate $400 billion only for acquisition. A very, I would say, persuasive way of packaging. If you can offer this as an incentive, saying that for the long term, in the next decade, India can perhaps allocate up to $50 to $60 billion for critical technologies, which would energize the Indian ecosystem, I think we may be able to get some kind of, shall we say, response from the Trump camp. But all these are question marks that will be determined, I think, by domestic politics within the US.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on significance of 2 plus 2 dialogue. The participants were Commodore C. Uday Bhaskar, strategic analyst, and K.V. Prasad, journalist. The program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.